You're listening to The Impromptu on the Hologram Radio Network, a multifaceted show discussing how technology, art, design, and equality converge on topics that matter most to us. From gaming culture to film and other forms of media, we examine the creative process and how the decisions we make shape our perceptions and lives. This is Alex Knight, and I am joined by Michael Norton. Episode 64, The Blackest of Fridays. Michael and I talk a little bit about Black Friday sales and whether or not we have decided to participate, whether or not we even care about it, and what does it mean. Talk a little bit about the PS4 Pro and how there seem to be mixed reviews about the actual performance improvements that it claims to offer with respect to frame rate and graphic enhancements. Just seems to be a general PR issue, how Sony is marketing the product and whether or not consumers really understand the benefits of the console, not only for the 4K gaming aspect, but the enhancements that they've said you can get even on an existing 1080p display. And where does Microsoft's Xbox Scorpio fit in all of this next year? Now that we actually know what the performance improvements are going to be on that, it looks like a pretty substantial upgrade, even though it is a mid-cycle upgrade. And it'll be interesting to see how Sony reacts to the release of that product next year. And where does Apple TV fit in with all of this? What is Apple's stance on gaming? It seems like they're not, we've talked about this before on the show, that Apple really doesn't seem to be passionate about it, that they make a lot of developer tools that solve genuine issues for people that need to make games on their platform, but they really have a hands-off approach from it. And it doesn't seem like a lot of developers are super interested in developing games for the Apple TV. And now the show. When everything is broken.
So here we are, another Black Friday, another rampant orgy of consumerism. So much to buy.
Black Friday is a new invention.
Yeah.
Brand new as of this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, see, now it's Black Friday week, and then there's Cyber Monday. They just basically keep inventing reasons to have sales.
And the two of us are totally susceptible. Mm-hmm. To all of these deals, because they do have some amazing deals typically.
It depends. Usually they're not amazing. It depends what you're looking for.
Well, I mean, there are a lot of sales on electronics and stuff like that and software too. Lots of people have coupons and promo codes and all sorts of things.
Yeah, but a lot of it isn't like an amazing deal. Like, I would say an amazing deal is anything more than 50% off. And generally, there's not a lot of that around. Usually, it's like, oh, $20 off this thing that's $500. Oh, cool. That makes it really easy to consider purchasing now.
Mm-hmm. So what is going on with Black Friday? Why do you want to talk about this? Because this happens every year.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just one of those things that always strikes me as weird.
As at the societal level, you mean, how we just completely become obsessed with searching for the best deals and spending a lot of money?
Well, I mean, we do that all year.
Sure.
But the fact that it's so centered on one specific day and that people lose their minds and that people actually die during these things. Like, people have been trampled to death in previous years.
Well, it's been known to happen, certainly. I haven't seen any reports this year.
Yeah,
of any mishaps happening yet, but it just started today, right?
Yeah, like I think, I don't know, if stuff has happened, I think it's less likely that we'll see stories because there's just so much else going on these days. But yeah, it's just one of those crazy things, and it's like society is already so consumer driven as it is, that it's like we really have to have a special day to celebrate this by having even more consumerism.
Yeah.
And then, of course, here in Canada, there's Boxing Day. So we have that to look forward to as well.
I mean, it's not something that I don't feel super pressure to participate in it. I mean, if I do genuinely feel like there's something that I've been needing and I've been holding off, and Black Friday happens to coincide with the time that I needed that thing, then okay, I'll take advantage of it. But I certainly don't feel like I'm rushing to grab every single deal for the sake of grabbing that deal. Now, it hasn't always been that way. I haven't always felt that way. Certainly, when I was younger, I always felt like, oh, I got to get that deal. I got to get that deal. But I don't feel that way anymore. And I don't know if that is just a maturity thing, or I don't know if it's just because I have, or maybe I feel like I have the things that I need right now. It might be even a combination of both of those things, certainly. But, you know, I do find a little not distasteful, because I don't blame any business for doing it, but you know, I've been getting notifications on my phone from certain apps that I have installed, you know, saying check out our latest Black Friday weekend sales, and I typically do not subscribe to that type of notification. I don't want to have promotions showing up on my phone. Like, I'll shop when I'm good and ready. I don't want you sending me notifications that it's time to now shop. Like, that is no. And I am thankful that I can control that experience on my phone. I can shut off those notifications. But sometimes I forget certain apps have that enabled, and you just get those notifications, be it from Amazon or whatever. I mean, I got a notification from B&H Photo and Video today, but it's actually my fault, because I checked the app preferences, and the only push notifications I have turned on are for special sales like that. So I almost never get notifications until suddenly today with Black Friday. So it's not a big deal. I'll probably go in and turn that option off. But again, it's just something I don't want to see on my phone.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have to turn that stuff off.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
Do you feel like you need stuff? Like,
No, I don't. I mean, there are certain things that I've been looking at, but yeah, like, I don't feel a pressing need to get anything. And I think that's kind of the big differentiator. It's like, either you're somebody that goes, well, I need these specific things, like need, not want, need.
Right.
And I'll look and wait for the best possible price on those particular items. And then there's people who will just be like, I kind of vaguely want this, or maybe need it, possibly, but probably not. Ooh, a deal. I'll buy it for reasons. Like, either you're the first type of person or the second type of person. And I mean, really, these days are geared towards the second type of person, because it's like flashing lights and big bold letters, Black Friday sale, and like discount percentages everywhere. I mean, it draws people in, and it convinces them that they need things that they don't necessarily need. I mean, none of us are completely immune to it, but
certainly not.
If you have your priorities straight, you're definitely less susceptible. And yeah, like, there are some good deals out there, but for the most part, as always, the deals aren't as good as they used to be. Like, back when they had sales like this only a few times a year, like, this was before consumerism got to the point where there were sales every weekend and sales on every holiday and sales whatever. Like, 10, 15 years ago, there was just Black Friday or just Boxing Day. We didn't even have Black Friday in Canada. It was just Boxing Day. And so the Boxing Day sales would be real sales. Like, you would get a $1,000 TV for $300. That would be the kind of deal that you would see back then. But now, because we're in a state of perpetual sales.
Right. So we're spoiled.
Yeah. So, I mean, because everything is intensified, because we have sales all the time, the deals aren't as good as they used to be, because the more you do something, the less special it becomes. So, I mean, because we have sales all the time, there's no reason to slash prices the way they used to when they only had one or two sales a year. Because that one or two sales a year would be most of their revenue for the year, because it would draw in thousands of people who would just buy and buy. Even though they've slashed the price a great deal, it would draw in so many customers that it made it worth it. And they made back like whatever money. But then, of course, things progressed. They realized that if they strung it out throughout the year, they could get continual revenue streams and so on and so on. And with ad buy-in and all that other glorious capitalist gold, it's kind of like how news has shifted to this 24-hour news cycle, where there's just constantly news forever.
Mm-hmm.
We've kind of hit this 24/7 sale cycle where there's never not a sale at any given point in time. There's always like a weekend sale or a Wednesday hump day sale. Yeah. Or,
and not just for online stores, but you see it in retail all the time. It seems like stores are always having sales.
Yeah.
Like I don't feel like it used to be like that.
No, it wasn't.
A sale really felt like an occasion, like, wow, there's a sale. This doesn't happen all the time.
No, it didn't. Like, it literally didn't happen all the time. Like I said, in Canada, there'd be Boxing Day and maybe on holidays. Maybe.
And certainly, like, I mean, technology is a factor in all this, because online...
Yeah.
Retail is eroding brick and mortar business.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
It has been for years.
And because online can offer cheaper prices, because they don't have to actually have retail locations, they don't have to pay rent, they just stash everything in a warehouse and ship it to you. Though shipping is its own issue, which we could have a whole discussion about at some point.
Yeah, I mean, can't say like a company like Amazon has no overhead. Certainly they have some level of overhead. They're just, the, you know, it's obviously to a lesser degree. It's in a different way.
Yeah. So these stores, I mean, you can kind of see how it came about. Online stuff went up, and so brick and mortar realized that they needed to draw people into the stores to keep them buying in the stores and not online. So at some point, someone got the brilliant idea of, well, we only have sales a few times a year, but if we want people to be in the stores all the time, why don't we increase the frequency of sales? And so it's progressed and progressed and progressed. And now in 2016, we are basically in the age of forever sales. So, I mean, that's pretty much how we got here. And I don't know that it's a bad thing. It's just sales have kind of ceased to have any meaning. Because if something's always on sale, then it isn't really a sale. I mean, that's not to say that there aren't still sales. I mean, Black Friday and Boxing Day, like big events like that, there are still
your door crasher
compelling
sales.
Discounts. They're not as high as they used to be, but they are still compelling enough that if you really wanted that item, it's a good time to go buy it. But
you know what? Also, technology, like the thing is that in so many of those products that we used to see huge discounts on, those products traditionally used to be so much more expensive. And now we've gotten to the point where manufacturing has become so efficient now, they're just pumping out so many things that now the price of everything is going down, and therefore probably the margins have gone down, and therefore they cannot have the same kind of sales anymore. You won't see those 80% off unless, you know, obviously, unless there are certain scenarios where, like, if a company's going out of business, they may need to liquidate everything rapidly, right? But for the most part, we those days are gone. We're not going to see those types of sales.
Yeah. The only, like, there is still some, like, reliable frequency to sales like that. For example, TVs. TVs will always go on massive discounts just before CES because that's when all the new TVs get announced. So everything goes on a sale to try and get rid of the inventory before the new stuff comes in. So you can always rely on that. Cameras usually come out March, April-ish. So there's usually big sales just before that. What else? Yeah, I mean, most product categories have kind of a frequency to them like that. The new products always come out in X month, and then just before that, there's massive sales on the old inventory. I mean, it's the same way with Apple products. They've become a bit less predictable these days, but you can always count on an iPhone event in September, something in the spring, maybe a Mac event in October, and WWDC in the middle. They don't usually announce products then, however, but yeah, like, you can always count on some new Apple products in the spring and new Apple products in the fall. That's how it always goes.
Yeah.
So you know that the time to sell your old Apple thing before the new thing comes out is always just before September or whatever. So yeah, I mean, if you know how to follow those patterns, if you know what to look for in those frequencies, you can still get really good deals on things, depending on what you're looking for. But yeah, I mean, the deals are never super amazing. It's always just the kind of deal where if you're getting it anyways, it's a good deal. Like, if you were going to spend $200 on it, being able to spend only $170 on it is still really great, even though it's not a massive discount. But yeah, I don't know. It is what it is now. There's no escape. Forever sales. It'll probably get worse with drone delivery and stuff. It'll be like, God, I'm just imagining some sort of dark Black Mirror-esque future where it's like, you go to a Best
Buy. I don't want to think about that.
You go to a Best Buy and buy a TV, and then a fucking drone picks up the TV and walks out with you.
Oh, it'll happen. And I'm sure.
Follows you, to your house.
We're far away from that, I think.
Yeah.
Like, I'm far away, meaning we're not going to see that in the next 10 years. Very much doubt that. Because even if the technology becomes available, there's rollout, right? Like, who's going to adopt it? Yeah, the adoption is the big issue. I mean, it takes time.
For smaller items, I think we'll probably see drone delivery within 5 years.
Yeah. I mean, Amazon's already testing that, right? And they're trying to get FAA approval. So that'll happen, certainly.
They do have it. They do have approval, but only for, like, testing. Like, they did get approval for testing, but an actual rollout, I don't know. I do know the FAA is working on regulations for drones, like a flight ceiling of a particular number of feet, and they can't go higher than that because then they'd interfere with planes, etc. And then I think they've introduced, like, a drone pilot license as well. So you have to actually get a license to be able to fly a drone around, which is important. Yeah, I don't know. I think 5 years is probably a reasonable estimate for like local point A to point B deliveries. Like the proverbial taco copter.
I'm really sad that never happened. I really want a taco delivery. I know it was a San Francisco thing, but come on. Vancouver needs some drone taco delivery service.
Yeah, we'll contact La Taqueria or Taco Fino about that. Oh God, Taco Fino, so good.
I could go for some of that right now, actually. Yeah. This show's over.
Insert shameless ad that nobody paid us for here. Taco Fino is an amazing Mexican restaurant in the heart of downtown Vancouver. They also recently opened a location in Yale Town.
They're Are you amazing. Making that up, or did they actually do
no,
that?
No, they did actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've been down to that two, area in quite
some
time.
There's two now. There's two Taco Finos in Vancouver now. Actually, I don't know if they've opened it yet. Either they just did or they haven't yet. I don't know. And then, yeah.
So did you get a PlayStation 4 Pro?
No.
It's out.
Yeah, it's out. Just like PlayStation VR is out. But...
And you bought that too.
Oh yeah, totally.
First day.
Yeah.
Lined up for it.
Yeah, definitely.
I gotta say, those... the controllers, the motion controllers look awful, but I know people that like the experience, but didn't they just tack on the existing, like those are not new, right?
No, it's literally the PlayStation Move controllers from the PS3.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Like they did not change them at all.
Now apparently that's not stopping people from having a good VR experience, because apparently they said it's pretty good.
I've tried it. It's pretty decent. I mean, the resolution is nothing like the Rift or the Vive, but
you know what? It's really cheaper. All about who's going to make games for the platform, right?
Yeah.
If the games aren't there, it really doesn't matter who has a higher res VR experience.
Yeah, probably. But yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. There's games coming out for it. Nothing like super concrete yet, but
I think if Sony is smart about this, that even if it doesn't sell a whole lot, that they should continue to invest and release revisions of the hardware pretty quickly. Like they should not sit on this for 3 years.
Yeah.
They should do like a revision every year on that thing. Like next year there should be like updated motion controllers.
Yeah.
They should up the res on it. They should, because now they have the PS4 Pro with the extra processing power that has no issues handling that.
Well,
in fact, the VR stuff, you can use it on a standard PS4, can you not?
Yes, you can.
You just get a slightly more smooth experience.
That actually hasn't panned out yet.
Okay, because I thought people were saying that the frame rate can be smoother. In some instances.
If it supports it, yes. Right. But a lot of the games, as it turns out, don't. And the thing with the VR is there's actually a separate processing unit that plugs into the PS4 that handles a lot of like the head tracking and everything. So the actual console doesn't really matter, because you've got this separate processing unit that handles a lot of that stuff. Obviously the video output, that's where the power of the Pro comes into play, because you've got two 1080p screens in there, or is it one? I don't remember, but, like you're needing to drive that display. And so with the Pro, theoretically, yes, you can have smoother, better graphics at a higher frame rate, but yeah, I don't know. The Pro is just such a weird animal. Like,
in what way?
It's only twice as powerful as the PS4. It can barely run 4K. Never mind the marketing. It's like all of the so-called 4K games are basically like less than and upscaled. And
It has no UHD player.
They don't run at 60 frames a second, as far as I know. They're all locked to 30. And amusingly, the Pro can't even run, like, you know how they said, oh yeah, on a 1080p TV, it'll be enhanced. You'd think that maybe means 60 frames on
right.
1080p.
That's what I assumed.
No dice. Still 30.
Well, maybe that's just a matter of certain games not being patched.
Again, it's really hard to say at this point. Like, it just feels incredibly half-baked. Like, I don't know if stuff has to be patched or they literally just limited it. And then, yeah, there's no 4K Blu-ray player on it for whatever unfathomable reason. Like, Sony invented 4K Blu-ray.
It's a weird thing because if you really need... I know they invented it. If you really need a UHD player...
Xbox One S.
Get an Xbox One S because, you know, I was actually pricing it out. The only one that I found right now on the market is a Samsung, like a proper 4K with HDR, all that sort of stuff. And it's like $450. Why wouldn't you just buy an Xbox One S for that price? It's got it right there.
Yeah, exactly.
This is the same situation we had with the PS3. Because when the PS3 came out, it was the first... it was the most popular DVD player. Not game console, forget about that. The most popular, highest selling DVD player.
Yeah.
Right? So... Or was that the PS2? Now I'm getting mixed up. I think it was the PS3 that was the most popular selling.
Because it was a Blu-ray player, right? And Blu-ray players were pretty expensive back then. So getting the PS3 was great because it was roughly the same price as a Blu-ray player. And right. You were able to play games
on it. That's right, because the standalone Blu-ray players at the time, it was a new thing and they were way more expensive.
Yeah, or nearly as expensive.
Or nearly. It's like, well, why would I just get a device that only plays movies if I can have a console that'll play the movies just as well and play video games?
Yeah.
It was like, yeah.
Exactly.
No contest.
So I think Sony made a huge mistake with this console. I think they really didn't judge the market, and the fact that the game support for this hardware is really confusing also doesn't help. It's not entirely clear what benefits you actually get, if any.
Well, the thing that I've seen them say constantly is, well, better graphics, better graphics, better graphics, smoother frame rates. That's what they keep saying.
That's what they keep saying, but so far it hasn't panned out that way.
But who's saying that, though? Like, was this your experience?
There have been
people that have said positive things about it.
There are, but I mean, if you go online and you look at various gaming sites, there are hands-on and, like, impressions of playing different games on the Pro, and what they've noticed is it seems to be wildly inconsistent depending on the game and depending on what TV you have and a bunch of other things. It's really, really confusing, and I don't think they've done quite a good enough job explaining exactly what benefits you're supposed to get out of this console. Like, it just doesn't feel like a new console release. And it should, because it is a new console. It's literally twice the power of the PS4, but it's being marketed like a new version of the PS4. So they're not making it 100% clear. Like, this is a brand new console. This is essentially this is the PlayStation for the next 3 years or so.
Yeah, I know. I totally understand what you're saying.
Like, it kind of feels like the Wii U. It feels like Sony's made a Wii U to me. Because that was another thing with the Wii U. People thought it was an upgrade to the Wii. They didn't realize it was a brand new console. And that really hurt them in the short term.
But Sony is not trying to... Like, there's a reason why it's not called a PS5.
Well, yeah, of course.
You know, so they are setting the expectations that, like, yes, they're once games are tuned for it, you could see some potentially significant graphical enhancements to it. And I believe what they're saying,
but
also the console is there's obviously a perception issue here.
Yeah.
And it's a little unfortunate the console is even bigger than the original PS4 before the Slim.
It actually isn't.
No?
It's slightly taller.
Slightly taller?
Very slightly taller.
Okay. But of course, once you put it next to the PS4 Slim, it's like, dear God.
Well, yeah, of course.
I mean, that's obviously not very fair. That's not very fair. They packed a lot in it.
They did.
I think it has an extra gig of memory, too.
Mm-hmm.
Which you need for the 4K stuff.
But as I said, like, they've done hands-on. They've actually done in-depth analysis and like,
who's they?
I think
These just publications that you're reading?
Yeah. Like, I've seen articles on IGN. I've seen articles on Polygon about it. And I mean, even stuff developers have said about it, like 4K support, air quotes, is not really 4K support. They're doing these weird, like, sub resolutions that are getting upsampled. It's not true native
4K. It's not native 4K. You can't play native 4K games at 60 frame rates per second on that hardware. There's no way.
No, and the thing is, it's not even running at 60 at all. Even with the lower resolutions, it's 30.
Yeah.
That's all you're going to get. Whereas, and this is where I think the fatal flaw comes into play, Microsoft is working right now on Scorpio, which is dramatically more powerful than the PS4 Pro. The PS4 Pro is...
This is actually leaked? Like, we know...
Oh, no. They talked about it at E3. They announced it at E3.
I didn't watch it. It's okay. So bring me up to speed, because I don't think we've actually talked specifically about the performance capabilities of the Scorpio system.
Yeah. So, I mean, they haven't revealed what it looks like or any of those details, but we do know that they're targeting 8 teraflops of processing power. The PS4 Pro itself is only 6.2 teraflops, roughly double that of the PS4. So with 2 extra teraflops of processing power, the Scorpio console is likely going to be able to deliver native 4K gaming, albeit at 30 frames, but it'll still be native 4K, not this downsampled stuff. Or if they do downsampled stuff, in theory, they should actually be able to run it at 60 frames a second with that extra power. So by delaying a year, Microsoft is going to be able to put out a console that has a 4K Blu-ray player, is powerful enough to theoretically run sub 4K games at 60 frames a second and native 4K games at 30 frames a second. And effectively runs Windows 10 and streams to your PC and.
I think Sony will have no choice but to put a UHD player at some point. They're not going to market it. They'll like silently slip it in.
Yeah,
next year.
I don't know.
I'm like, predicting that.
I think Sony's going to be forced to make a mid-cycle shift. Like, I think the PS4 Pro is going to have to be replaced by the PS5 at a much sooner interval. Yeah. Like, I think...
Not, I doubt next year, but maybe no, the year 2018?
Yeah, 2018, 2019, the PS5 will probably come out and it'll be like, yeah, we've got UHD. It's 9 teraflops, like, I don't know, something like that.
And
because the Pro just doesn't cut it, especially once Scorpio comes out, because Scorpio is going to come out and it'll be like everything the PS4 Pro supposedly does, we do way better. And this is totally not a sure thing, but my bet is it will run Oculus Rift. That'll be Microsoft's answer to VR. It'll be able to run an Oculus Rift. Or, at their event where they announced the Surface Studio, they talked about sub-$200 VR headsets that were based on HoloLens technology. And they announced that they were partnering with a number of companies, including HP, to make VR headsets at that price point. that'll be out next year. So actually, the Scorpio will probably work with those, and Microsoft will just completely undercut Sony with, well, hey, buy the Scorpio for $499, and then buy this VR headset for $299, and there you go. You've got VR gaming PC, essentially, for below $1,000.
Well, Sony will have to naturally respond, as they have to do with the competition, too, right? I mean, the Oculus is just spec for spec, obviously, beats the PlayStation VR.
Yeah.
So we'll just have to see what happens. But I like this. I honestly, this competition is great. I like how aggressive they're being with doing these mid-cycle upgrades, which is we've never seen that before with consoles.
Right. Well, I mean, we've talked about this before it happened, and I basically said, like, they're moving to this PC-esque upgrade cycle because it's all PC hardware.
Well, they have to.
They can do it. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens, because none of this is in a vacuum. People are buying these products, and so it's like, if a bunch of people buy the PS4 Pro and then they release the PS5 in 2019 or 2018 even, it'll be like, well, what we just bought is basically useless. I mean, it won't be useless, but I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out. Because, yeah, at this point in time, Microsoft has effectively outmaneuvered Sony for the first time in a while. They really lost the plot a bit there with the Xbox One. But with Scorpio, I think they're really turning things around, and they've realized what people are going to want in the next year or two. And that console is really going to cater to those needs. And those are needs that I don't feel the PS4 Pro has addressed. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, and Sony, do you feel like Microsoft is making more substantial user enhancements, user interface, user experience improvements to the Xbox? Are they iterating more aggressively on that front? I know PS4, with the firmware stuff, they obviously made some UI changes, they did some polish, and it's certainly better, but
Ooh, they added folders.
Well, it's more than that. I mean, even some of the animations and loading screens, and it seems to be smoother and looks a little nicer, but
that doesn't really matter, because you've still got the same underlying usability issues.
That is true. And when I see what Microsoft is doing with the Xbox stuff, it looks better.
Yeah.
To me.
Oh, yeah. It's totally better. And the new update they talked about, the winter update, is going to have built-in, like, game broadcast and all these other things. Like, plus the whole streaming to your PC thing is crazy. So that all works in sync with each other. So you have a Windows 10 PC and an Xbox One. They work together in perfect sync. They've started doing this cross-buy stuff. So if you buy Gears of War 4 for your Xbox One, you get it on the Windows Store for free. So if you have a powerful enough gaming PC, you can play it on your console or on your PC. They've just been making really huge strides in improving everything for their audience. And like, I don't know. I think it's indicative of the new Microsoft, really. Like, instead of just sitting around, they are constantly moving, constantly trying to improve everything all the time. And they've set themselves up in a position where it's not necessarily the hardware even. They can make improvements to the software that meaningfully change the paradigm for the platform. Like all the updates they've made to the Xbox One OS, adding all these features, instant game broadcast and all this other stuff. Like, these are all features that weren't even a thing when the Xbox One first came out, but now it can do all of this stuff because they've been able to update the software so regularly. And it feels like Sony's just kind of running in place at this point. You've still got the stupid cross-media bar. They've added folders, but those are really annoying. The design isn't what it should be, really. And, like, because, like, you have a folder, but then that just drops down to another bar.
Yeah, it's not super well thought out with care or anything like that.
Yeah, it's just like they added sort of a tree structure to it. And
when I remember
you're
when
still that, like flicking up and down with the D-pad.
I remember when the firmware update with that folder feature came out, and they were just like, they seemed like it was the best thing since sliced bread. Like, and now folders, you've been asking for, and we've finally given it to you. You know, it's like, it's not that special, guys.
Yeah, and you can't even add stuff from your library to a folder. It has to already be on the bar, and then you move it, and you can't even change where the folders are on the bar. Like, that's the other stupid thing. The bar just acts on it of its own accord. Games you suddenly start playing go to the front. Things you download go to the front. You can't rearrange it at all.
No.
It just kind of does its own thing.
And I was looking for a way to do that the other day. I put a bunch of games in a folder, and I'm trying to organize like what goes where. I'm like, it seems to do it alphabetically, I think, or I can't remember if it was alphabetically or depending on the order that you play in. I think it moves the latest one that you've played in that folder gets moved to the front or something like that. But I was trying to find a way to manually like organize the games that are in that folder, and I couldn't find a way. It doesn't look like you can. So anyways, it's just not that great. It's not that well thought through. And I just think Microsoft has better designers right now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, like...
And that might not even be fair a comment to make to the designers. Maybe they do have good designers. Maybe it's just that there's someone in charge that believes the crossbar thing is like the best invention ever made, because obviously they seem to be firm about that.
If there is such a person, they should be fired, because it's not at all.
You know,
it is annoying.
So, I mean, we can't speak to the internals of the company, what's going on, who's making decisions, what they think is best. Maybe they do have good designers, but all I can say is, as a whole, I think what Microsoft is doing as the Xbox team is concerned, they're doing better work in my eyes.
Yeah, absolutely. So
I'll just judge it based on that.
I am definitely loving what they're doing. The only thing for me, obviously, is Sony still has better exclusives. Like, if you want to have these really cool gaming experiences, you still need to have both consoles.
They both have their exclusive game consoles. Microsoft is no slouch. I mean, there are tons of great games available. A lot of the games that are available on the Xbox are also available on the PS4. The issue is, of course, if you try to pick sides and you already have a PS4, you know, this is not Microsoft's fault. It's just like switching from like PC to Mac. If you've invested all this money in software, it's like, well, suddenly now all of that money has gone out the toilet, gone down the toilet, because you can't, you know, you got to buy those games again. So I guess you just keep, well, I wouldn't buy the games again. I would just keep the PS4 and then just buy all my new games on Xbox. I'm not sure. You know what? I'm not loyal to Sony. I only buy what I feel is best at the market. In that, you know, whatever is best at that time, that's what I buy. That's why I continue to buy Apple products, because I still feel that they are the best. We can groan, we can complain about things, this or that, that we don't like. But ultimately, I think it's fair to say that both of us feel that Apple products are still the best design, the best thought through. So that's why we continue to use these products. And until something truly becomes available that is like just totally usurps anything that Apple is doing, I would never think of switching to any other platform, because there is nothing to switch to that's better.
Yeah.
So I'm totally open to buying an Xbox and seeing what that experience is like. And I think next year, I haven't bought an Xbox one yet. I think next year will probably be the year for me to buy the Scorpio model and see how that goes.
Yeah.
Maybe I will like it enough that I won't want to use my PS4 for very long.
Yeah, I mean, I basically go where the games are. That's what I do. I am totally not loyal to any brand per se, but I go where the games are. So for the most part, a lot of titles are cross-platform now, but each console does still have its exclusives. Obviously, Nintendo, you're getting Mario, you're getting Zelda, you're getting Splatoon, you're getting Metroid if they ever decide to do another one at some point.
Nintendo's one of those platforms that just has way more unique exclusive titles that you'll never see or are less likely to see on Sony's platform or Microsoft's platform. Obviously, that's now changing with Mario because now that's coming to iOS.
Yeah. I mean, Nintendo's kind of its own beast. They just kind of do their own thing. Right. And I mean, if you love those franchises, you're going to get whatever comes out next. And the Switch is going to be a great choice. Luckily, it's going to be cheap. So you'll be able to get that and whatever else. But yeah, like, so Nintendo, you've got all that. Sony, you've got Uncharted, Ratchet and Clank, God of War.
Is Destiny exclusive to the PS4?
No, but Bungie constantly has like deals with Sony where there are exclusive pieces of content just for PS4. So yeah, like they have their own library of exclusives. They used to have Final Fantasy exclusive, though that's now going to be on Xbox One and PS4. Same with Kingdom Hearts 3, which is surprising. Like Square's kind of gone cross-platform. And then like I would say there's probably more stuff on the Sony side for exclusives. The Last Guardian is coming out soon. That's going to be crazy. Microsoft, they've got Halo. They've got Gears of War. The games from Remedy. So Alan Wake, which was awesome. And then Quantum Break for Xbox One. Which was... It's pretty fun. I just like the world building in Alan Wake more, I'd say. But... yeah, like I'd say Microsoft's list is definitely shorter. Like if you're looking for truly exclusive titles that are only on Xbox One, it is definitely a much shorter list. And not all of them are necessarily your cup of tea. So I mean really for me, it's what console has really good titles that I'm really interested in playing that I can only get on that console. And so initially for me, that was PS4 and a Wii U. And then Halo 5 and Gears of War 4 and all of these games came out. And so it's like, okay, so now it's time to get an Xbox. So I've had an Xbox for a few years now.
An Xbox One, the first version?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's been great having those games. And seeing the software improvements that Microsoft's been making.
There was an exclusive title for the Xbox One that I really, really wanted to play. And I think to this day, it has not come out on other platforms. I think it was called Sunset Overdrive or something like that. Was that it?
That was actually the Xbox One bundle that I bought.
Yeah. Is that still an Xbox only game?
Yes.
Yeah, that one I really wanted to play. Looks good.
Yeah.
It's definitely something I will have to play once I do get an Xbox next year.
Yeah, it's a really fun game. Yeah, so I mean, that's my philosophy. Go where the games are. Obviously, I'm lucky enough to be able to afford all the consoles if I want to buy them. But yeah, I mean, ideally, that's just what you should do. Like, weigh what franchises are more important to you, which ones you enjoy more, and then go with that console if you can only buy one or two. Like, I would advocate, if you're a Nintendo fan, get the Nintendo thing, and then whichever one has better exclusives, from your point of view.
So I want to kind of loop back to the stuff we talked about with these mid-cycle console upgrades. Why not just make these systems modular so that you can just hot swap GPU upgrade?
I think the reason that they decided against that is probably because it would be too confusing for the consumer, the average consumer. I mean, enthusiasts, obviously, it'll be like, oh yeah, yeah, just slide it out, slide in the new thing, and it's good to go. Like, there is a segment of the audience that understands that, that'll be able to do that no problem. But a larger segment of the audience won't have any idea how to do that.
It doesn't sound like a complicated thing. Why do you think that they would have an issue with that? I mean, the Nintendo Switch has all these things about pulling these devices apart.
Those are controllers, though. Those are controllers, though. Like, it's a much simpler operation than go buy this magic box, pull another box out of the console, put this box into it, and now it's faster. Like, just from a marketing standpoint, from a
right, how do you market standpoint, a graphics chip as opposed yeah. to a, this is a new console?
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's not impossible, but it right. is more challenging.
No,
I see
what you're saying.
It does deliver more frustration.
It sounds better when you say we have this whole new thing for you.
Yes.
As opposed to just a little box that goes in and out.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I think they decided against that, even though it would make more sense to have a platform that changes with the hardware, where it's like year after year, it gets better. Like, that would make sense. But yeah.
We may get there eventually.
We might. I mean, modular PCs have been tried. Razer actually had this concept.
Yeah, I saw that. It actually looked real slick.
Yeah, it was like it was going to be cooled by oil or something, and everything would be like inside these sealed cartridges, like the GPU, the CPU, it would all be in these.
Yeah, like these trays that you pull
trays,
out.
Trays, boxes. I mean,
it actually looked like a really cool design.
Yeah, yeah.
Very industrial
looking. It was pretty
looking.
Cool.
No, that never saw the light of day, right?
No.
That was just a little concept.
Yeah, because obviously the manufacturers would have to make hardware that supports that spec. So that made it difficult because obviously no one was on board for that, so they weren't able to get it off the ground. Like, it requires a great deal of cooperation, because when you're talking about PC components, it's not just like one company, it's five or six, depending on what it is, like whether it's RAM, you've got dozens of companies for RAM, hard drives, same thing.
Yeah.
The only time there's actually some brand cohesion is GPUs and CPUs. GPUs, you've got AMD and NVIDIA. CPUs, you've got AMD and Intel. So there's cohesion there, but everywhere else is completely fragmented. And to get all of those companies to agree to make specially sealed cartridges for their hardware just to work with this one PC, yeah, it's probably not going to happen. Especially because they'd have to change their manufacturing pipeline and a bunch of other details just for this one SKU, which they're probably not prepared to do.
Where is Apple in all of this? Where are they situated with the Apple TV and gaming?
They're situated in, we realize gaming is cool and people like it, but we have no idea how to actually do it, or we don't want to. Like, they seem to be fine with gaming as a concept. They just don't want to really do any work in terms of capitalizing on it.
Right. It just seems like their approach is, like you're saying, it's as a concept, it's great. They're like, yeah, gaming's cool. Yeah, now just go take this thing and go away. Just kind of go do your thing.
Yeah, pretty much.
But that's not really the best way to approach that relationship, because if you want people to make stuff for your platform. It's not enough for the tools to be good. Apple, I really feel like Apple needs to be there as a support for developers to say, hey, we really get what you're trying to do. And the thing is, I just,
well,
maybe passion is the right word to use here. It just doesn't, if, I don't feel that Apple is passionate about gaming, because if they were, they would be taking more of an active involvement with the community.
Yeah, I don't think they're passionate about it at all. They have put out a lot of really great tools.
Oh, like, absolutely. I mean, Metal is huge.
SceneKit, all of that, SpriteKit. Yeah. Like they've done a lot of really cool tools.
Certainly.
And APIs for gaming, for
and,
sure.
And certainly solved a lot of challenges that developers had.
Yeah. Yeah, and Game Center has improved over the years. It's now...
They got rid of the felt.
Yeah, they got rid of the felt. And also, they got rid of the app entirely, and now it's just this API framework for building multiplayer on iOS.
I didn't even notice that they got rid of the app.
Yeah.
Because I had it in a folder.
iOS 10 killed the app, and now it's just an API framework layer.
So now you can just invite... It's integrated into apps. You don't need to see an app.
No.
So how do you see your scores? Because you used to be able to see your scores.
Well, it's tied into the game. It's
okay.
Tied.
So how, you have to open the game to look at that stuff.
It's tied to your sense. Apple ID. So
why not? I mean, when you're playing against somebody, why wouldn't you? Why would you want to be taken out of that experience to go somewhere else to look at your scores?
Yeah,
it actually makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. So like each game is kind of its self-contained entity, and then Game Center lives as this layer that connects all of it together.
Is that the same on Mac OS? Does Game Center exist as an API there?
It's, well, when they added it, it became an API layer.
I don't remember. Did they ever do a Game Center app for Mac OS? I don't remember.
I think they did. I don't think it's there anymore.
No. No, I don't think so either.
I think Sierra, like if it was there in El Capitan, it's gone in Sierra.
Yeah, it's not here.
Yeah.
Running Sierra here. It just doesn't exist.
Yeah. Yet, so
they kept DVD player. Really?
The super drive still
and the
exists.
Dashboards. The dashboard widgets are still accessible.
Yep.
That's still a thing. Nobody remember when people used to make widgets?
Oh yeah. Yep.
When are they updating the sticky notes widget?
I don't know. Probably never. Use the notes app.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
Yeah. There's definitely some weirdness there, but yeah. Anyway, looping back, I don't know. I think Apple's just perfectly content to give developers the tools they need and kind of get out of the way. Just let them make the games they want to make and don't really rock the boat too much. Could that change somewhere down the road? Yeah, it's entirely possible that Apple could suddenly start giving a damn about gaming and make their own magic aluminum controller and do whatever else. But for now, that's pretty unlikely.
You've been listening to The Impromptu on Hologram Radio. I'm Alex Knight, joined by Michael Norton, as always. We'd appreciate if you could show your support for this podcast and the work that we do here by becoming a regular sustaining donator. Donate a dollar every month via Patreon. You can do that today by going to patreon.com/hologramradio. It really does make a difference. Subscribe to the show in iTunes to ensure you get every new episode each and every week, or your favorite podcast player of choice. Wherever you can find podcasts, we should be there. We're on TuneIn and Stitcher and now Google Play as well. And we'd appreciate a review wherever you can leave it, because it makes us feel good and it also helps other people discover the podcast. You can follow us on Twitter. We're at The Impromptu. Michael Norton is at Zen Impulse. I'm at Zero Distraction. You can find us on Facebook as well if you just search for Hologram Radio. And you can send us email the old-fashioned. You can send us email the old-fashioned way if you'd like to send us some feedback. That email goes to the both of us. It is theimpromptu@hologramradio.org.
And on that note, thanks for listening, everyone. See you next time.